Bill, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody.
Good morning. I'm Bill Thomas. I'm the director of the Long Beach Rescue Mission, located down at 1335 Pacific.
All right, Bill, let's welcome him this morning. Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself, your testimony, maybe introduce your family to us, that kind of thing.
Well, my wife, Cindy, and my son, William, are sitting up here in the front. She's trying to hide right now, I can see. And my son, Matthew, is in your children's church. And I have a daughter, Bethany, as well. And we're proud to serve the Long Beach Rescue Mission. And we enjoy caring for the homeless and the needy in our community. I come from a middle-class background. My parents raised me up in the Southern Baptist Church. And your pastor shared with me when we were talking before the service to feel free to speak boldly and share with the congregation here about the work of the rescue mission. And those are always welcome words for a Southern Baptist preacher to hear, because we just love to speak boldly and long, too. So if you all get tired and you want to go home late this evening, you know, go ahead, just turn out the lights, I'll still be here. But nevertheless, I grew up around rescue missions, and you'd think I'd know better, but I became an alcoholic when I was 14, and a drug addict shortly thereafter. So I know firsthand what drugs and alcohol can do to a person. I know firsthand what homelessness is all about. I was on the streets pretty much from the time I was about 14 on. And I struggled through a lot of my life, trying to put ends together, trying to figure out what life was all about, what God wanted to use me for. And you know, God finally got a hold of my heart, and I gave myself to Him for full-time service and ministry. Went on to Bible college. While I was there, there was not an opportunity to intern at the Montana Rescue Mission in Billings, Montana. That's where I grew up. My dad, by that time, was the director of that mission. He had been on the board of directors for 30 years prior to that, so I remember as a little boy playing down at the rescue mission and spending time down there. And during this time of internship, I was searching in my heart where I was going to serve in ministry. And I found it there at that rescue mission. I saw those people come through the doors. I saw their broken lives. I saw the devastation that they had faced. Some of it, yes, was their own responsibility. Some was not. And I saw that there were so few people that were willing to work with them, to reach down and to love them and to help them, just as I had been helped. And I felt then the Lord's calling on me to enter into full-time gospel rescue mission service, and I've never regretted it. I've loved it ever since. I wouldn't do anything else. God has a purpose for each and every one of us, and we need to answer to His calling. You don't have to be a rescue mission director. It could be God's calling for you is to just speak to your neighbor next door, the grocery clerk, when you're buying your groceries at the supermarket. But whatever it is, folks, heed God's calling in your heart. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it.
Amen. Well, Bill, tell us about what's going on at the mission these days, kind of where you've been, where you're at, and where you're headed. Share with us just what we could be praying for and even how we can get personally involved in what's going on at the mission. Thanks.
Well, our rescue mission is growing by leaps and bounds right now. My wife and I, well, as I was sharing with you, I started the Montana Rescue Mission. We then went on to Eureka, California, way up north, just south of the Oregon border, where we served for 10 years. And we've been at this rescue mission since 1995. And we've seen this mission just double in growth, both the numbers of people that are coming to us in need of assistance and numbers of volunteers and churches that have gotten involved in our work. So we're in a very exciting time for our rescue mission. It's wonderful to see how there is really a love affair going on between our rescue mission and the churches in our community. Those of us in full-time service and gospel rescue mission work know that a rescue mission is simply an arm of the local church. We're the method that many of our churches use to reach the poor, their place of service in mission work, their opportunity to get involved, to serve, to share the love of Christ with others. This last year, we provided over 100,000 meals and 37,000 night shelter. I don't have enough staff to reach all of those people that come through our rescue mission. As it is, we were blessed to see over 5,000 decisions for Christ this last year at our mission. And we praise God for that. That's 5,000 more men, women, boys, and girls that'll be entering into the kingdom of God. It'll be there in heaven with us. And that's a tremendous blessing to see that happen. But even as wonderful as that is, we still have more opportunities to serve and to do more. And it takes people being involved in that. We need folks that can come down and give of themselves, volunteer their time down at the mission. And you need to just search your heart and see how God would lead you to become involved. Maybe it's through some time that you have. Maybe you don't have finances to share, but you have some time that you could give. There's a place for you at our mission, and we can use your help. Maybe you don't have the time to give, but you have the finances. If you can share monetarily with our mission, we appreciate it very much. And it'll be put to work to help just as many hungry and hurting and homeless men, women, boys, and girls as we can. Maybe you're not blessed in either way, either with time or with finances, but you can always pray for us. We really covet your prayers. We desperately need your prayers at our rescue mission. We are on the front lines of mission work. We see people who are on the brink of disaster. Many of them, when they come to that mission, they may not even realize it, but it's really they're running out of chances in their lives, and they need someone to reach them. That's why we call it rescue mission work. Fanny Crosby, one of the great old-time hymn writers, used to come down to the Bowery Rescue Mission, and she wrote many of her hymns, having been inspired by the work of that mission. And she wrote an old hymn called Rescue the Perishing. And it tells a story that's so very true about rescue mission work and how important it is for us to care for those that are in need. When I started out in rescue mission work 23 years ago, we worked predominantly with men, usually older men, more than likely chronic alcoholic men. Over the years, the face of the homeless has changed dramatically. Back then, we didn't see any families. Very seldom did we see single ladies. Now, 60% of the homeless are made up of families, either dual parent or single parent families with children. Devastating change that's come about in our country and the poverty that families are facing today. The age of men that we're serving has dropped considerably. They've dropped from in their 50s and 60s in age down to in their 30s and 20s. We're seeing a lot more drug abuse in the homeless population now than there used to be. And it's taken some serious changes in perspective and in approach through our rescue missions to meet those needs of those people, to be there to minister to them when they need us. Some of those folks we have to pray for and be patient with. Some of them it takes time until they're ready to change in their lives. Others are ready the moment they enter the door of the rescue mission. I was thrilled to see that you quoted Matthew 25, 37 through 40 on your pamphlet here. That's one of the foundational scriptures of rescue mission work. Because the Lord's talking in judgment about how he's separating the sheep from the goats. And he's talking about the litmus test that those people would face. And if I can share with you for just a moment there. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When we care for the poor down at that rescue mission, I tell my staff all of the time, treat them with respect. Treat them with love. Treat them as you would your Savior. Because men have entertained angels unaware. We don't know when the Lord might be sending an angel through to see how we're serving those that are in need. Every person is worth something, has worth, should be treated with dignity, with respect, with love. There was a time when I was in desperate need. It would have been very easy for people to write me off. But there was a Christian who came to me when there was no outward signs of any hope in saving me. And that Christian reached out to me in love and told me that he loved me, and that he was praying for me, and that he was there for me. Can I do any less? Can you do any less? None of us deserve salvation. None of us. There isn't one in this room, there isn't one in this world that deserves salvation. It's a free gift we receive from the Lord Jesus. And because we've received that free gift of salvation, because Jesus loved us first, we can risk loving others. And we need to do that, folks. And let me tell you something that I've seen through the eyes of our volunteers so many, many, many times over the years. You can't get involved in helping the poor. You can't love them without being loved yourself. You can't bless them without being blessed yourself. And I see when our volunteers come down and they get involved and they do good things down there, as they leave at the end of the day, I see their faces just glowing. They've had such a wonderful time. It's a miracle to see that happen. But it's tremendous because of what? Because of the love of Christ. Because the love of Christ abides within us and it wants out. The Lord wants us to share His love with others. And by doing so, we're loved ourselves. So how can you get involved in the rescue mission? Through your prayers, through your finances, through your time. What are the top prayer requests for our mission? Please be in prayer for our expansion needs. My board of directors and I are in the planning stages now. We've purchased some property around our rescue mission, and we have hopes of expansion in the next few years. It's a lengthy process that takes time to plan all of that out. But even though we have 120 beds for single men, even though we have 33 beds for women and children, most often we're full to capacity, and sadly we have to turn away many, many people that we just can't help. We need to expand. It takes a great deal of money, a great deal of time to be able to do that and to reach more people. But we have what? God's commandments right here in Matthew 25 that we need to follow. We need to reach out and to love other people and to minister to them. So be in prayer for our expansion needs. Please be in prayer for our current needs. Folks, we go through a ton of food, and I literally mean a ton of food. We're serving 300 to 500 meals a day. Now, put that into your own perspective. You've had 300 to 500 folks come by your house for dinner today. That's quite a bit of food, isn't it? And we need that on a daily basis to feed all those folks that come to us, along with all of the other needs. You know, when the homeless come to us, they don't have all their own belongings. They usually have just the shirt on their back, and that's it. So we've got to provide it all for them. Toothpaste, toothbrushes, soap, Tylenol, clothing, shoes, everything that you'd need in your own home, these folks need too. And we need to provide those needs for them as well. And thirdly, please be in prayer for my staff. We have a great challenge that lays before us. We can always feel that old devil battling with us. He wants us to fail. He wants us to give in and to give up. We deal with some pretty rough times down there sometimes. But it's worth it. If we can save one person, it's worth it. It's well worth it. But we're able to save many. So folks, I'm so blessed that you've asked us here today. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just over 10 minutes now. So I'm amazed. I usually run quite a bit longer than that. So my wife gave me this new, I have this new watch here with this fancy timer. So it reminds me of that. Why I have that? Gee, I don't know, honey, do I? Oh, folks, God bless you. You know, I was so pleased when John Zimmerman, my business manager, came to work for us a couple of years ago. And he's been such a tremendous help for us at that rescue mission. And we're so blessed to be here with you folks today. It amazes me how I speak in so many churches in our community, but when I walk through the doors of our gospel teaching and preaching Christian evangelical churches, I'm impressed with how I feel like I'm walking into my own church and I'm among my brothers and sisters in Christ. We do feel that today. You folks have made us feel very welcome here and very loved. We can tell you have a wonderful, vibrant church here, and we've been blessed to be here. God bless you folks. Keep up your good work. You're doing a fantastic job here at this church. God bless you.
Claudia, there you are. Hi. Come on up. Thanks, Bill. Claudia, go ahead and tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Okay, my name is Claudia Arianis, and I am the new CEF director, Child Evangelism Director for the Greater Long Beach Chapter. And I first heard about child evangelism when I lived in the state of Washington. Somebody invited me, and I think it was at an Alliance church, and they invited me to go hear these missionaries, and that's where I first heard about it.
So your testimony, kind of give us some background there, and then feel free, just go right into what's going on with CEF these days. How can we become involved personally, and what are the prayer requests that you would list for Child Evangelism Fellowship in the Greater Long Beach area?
Okay.
Thanks, Claudia.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share today. When I was a little girl, we were Lutheran, but we were Lutheran in name only. And so we'd only go to church, Easter, Christmas, and so on. I was lucky to get to go to VBS a couple of times, and I loved it because there I felt there was a foundation built for me. And I had a hunger for the Lord all of my life. I did for a short time attend a Lutheran kindergarten. And so the foundation was laid and the hunger was there, but I wasn't really being ministered to, you know, as I was growing up. But when I heard about CEF in Washington, I was excited because what I found out was that CEF is the world's largest mission agency ministering to children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. CEF has chapters in all 50 of the United States and in 154 countries around the world. And last year, as a whole, we reached nearly 4.9 million children with the gospel. We've been around for over 60 years. We have a unique ministry because we have training and we have materials, and we are here to carry out the Great Commission. We are the organization that you've probably heard of, Good News Clubs or Bible Clubs. I can see people nodding. Some of you went to one maybe when you were a child. We are the people who put those on. We go into the housing projects. We go to trailer courts. We go into the parks. We go everywhere we can go where the children are unchurched. If you step outside of your church and you look around your community, you can pretty much know that 80% or more kids don't go to church. And so their parents may or may not send them to your church, but they might just send them to a community Good News Club. And we're finding that to be true. And then what we do is we disciple them, we teach them the Word of God, disciple them, and then try to funnel them into the local churches. And I'm just going to touch the iceberg of what we do today. You've probably seen us at the fair. We're at the Orange County Fair, the Pomona Fair. We're at every fair in California. And we have a booth there, and that's where we minister to children there as well. But I'm excited to tell you something. God has opened a window of opportunity for us to go on the public school grounds after school and teach the children. And I have a video that will explain a little bit more about that.
There is a movement across America taking the hope of the gospel to children where they are, reaching one of the most fruitful mission fields, the public school. The After School Good News Club program is a voluntary Bible class where children receive sound Bible teaching in a fun-filled atmosphere. These clubs are sponsored by Child Evangelism Fellowship. CEF is an international ministry committed to the task of reaching children with the gospel of Jesus Christ and establishing them in a local church.
Last year, the program came to our school as an opportunity for the kids, which was open to anybody willing to choose to participate. We did not solicit people, but we had a great, great showing. This year, my children came to me and said, "Mom, can we join the club?" And I said, "Well, sure." So they've joined, and they've gone to three meetings. They come home excited. They remember what they've learned. They verbalize it, talk about it. It has been a wonderful experience for them.
Many of the students who are participating in the Good News Club are now becoming leaders among their peers, and they're helping to forge a new climate and a new culture on the campus that's very positive and very rewarding. I've seen the change in several students as a result of the Good News Club.
On June 11, 2001, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Good News Clubs can meet in public schools after school on the same terms as other community groups.
What happened when the Supreme Court decided that case is it didn't necessarily create brand new law, but it clarified existing law, and it made crystal clear the issue with regards to Christian after-school clubs having access to public school and other public facilities. And that is this: that Christian clubs, such as the Good News Club, have a constitutional right protected by the First Amendment to have equal access and equal treatment to public schools, to other public facilities, to meet on the same equal basis as other secular organizations or secular groups. Good News Clubs are a tremendous opportunity. I like to analogize a Good News Club to a high-powered Sunday school program. And it really is the opportunity to take Sunday school to the public schools.
I think the Good News Club provides a great opportunity for us to carry out the Great Commission. When you really care about the children in your community, it is just a natural way to have an inroad with that parent. Folks are so appreciative that someone's interested in their kids. I guess what impressed me and what made things easier for me logistically was that Child Evangelism Fellowship provided the training. And then we like the curriculum extremely well. It's evangelistically based. The gospel is always presented within the Bible stories. So I feel like it just really dovetails into the heart and philosophy of our whole church.
My, what a joy it is to just be a part of an exciting program of evangelism, of reaching out. And it's my firm conviction as a preacher, as a pastor, that if we do not reach children at this age, it's very likely that we'll not reach them at all. And I thank God for the privilege of being a part of Good News Bible Clubs.
I think we are in a spiritual battle. Just like in any physical battle, when you take new ground, you can't take it for granted. You've got to continue to defend it, otherwise the enemy will take it from you. And through the Supreme Court ruling, new ground has been opened. We need now to take the opportunity, because if we sit back and we relax, the opportunity and the ground that we have now gained will ultimately be lost. We've got to look back at our generation and say, this was an opportunity. We took advantage of it by God's grace. We became the soldiers of Christ and walked into that battlefield. And we continue to share the gospel.
It's an exciting time we're in. And my goal is to get into the public schools. We are currently in only two. I just started doing this not even a year ago. We are at Cubberly School, which I think is your neighborhood school around here. They need help. We had to temporarily close it because I have a teacher who didn't have any helpers. They were kind of sporadic helpers. So if you're interested in checking out that club, come see me. Also, we just got into Star King Edison School. I'm also working with a church in Cerritos, and we're going to get into the ABC School District. And we have some in Norwalk that another chapter is working. And so this is the time. And it just blows my mind that we can get on the public school grounds and do this. I mean, they took away the prayer. They're trying to take God out of the flag salute, but God said, that's okay. I'm going to open this door. And so I'm really excited about it. We have free training classes to teach you how to do this. They're on Mondays, Monday during the day and Monday in the evening. I have a table out there, so I don't want to take too much time. You can come see me, pick up some literature, fill out a paper if you'd like me to contact you about anything, and just leave the table there, leave the paper there on the table. I had my first Good News Club in my garage. Our church was getting rid of their pews, and so my husband grabbed some of those pews and we put them in my garage. And I had between 15 and 20 kids attending my first Good News Club. I was hooked, and I've been involved with CEF for 21 years now, and it's just a privilege that the Lord put this in my path. I just love this ministry. I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing than children's ministry. And you know, folks, it's not babysitting. CEF is not about babysitting. Neither is your children's ministry here. It's about laying the foundation So these children will have a hunger for the Lord. So when they get into those troubled teenage years, they have something to remember, to fall back on. The Holy Spirit can draw them back. And so it starts when they're little to start instilling the Word of God to them. Three things that you can pray for us for. Number one, we are trying to establish prayer bands throughout the city. People who will gather together maybe one time a week to pray specifically for our chapter. Those are called prayer bands. I have information on the table. Also pray that we get the teachers and helpers. I can't do any of this unless I have people helping me. And I don't have very many at this point because we're just starting on this endeavor. So pray that the Lord will bring the workers, the teachers. We want enthusiastic people who love the Lord and love children. So pray for that. And three, pray for my staff and myself that we will stay focused on God's leading and that we will see good fruit coming from this ministry. I'm excited. Thank you for letting me be here today. God bless you.
These are just a couple of our ministry partners. These are our Jerusalem, the world that we live in immediately. Is it any coincidence that CEF is in at Cubberley, which is just a few blocks away? Is it any coincidence that John Zimmerman, an elder at our church and active here for many, many years, is a business administrator at Long Beach Rescue Mission? It's only a coincidence if you shut your eyes to God. But if you will keep your eyes on the Lord, you will see that He is weaving into the fabric of our church ministry that He has called on us to do, and that our missions committee recognizes we ought to be partnering with these people. We ought to be active in what we're doing. We ought to take our families. We ought to take our small groups. We ought to take our Sunday school classes, the ministries that we belong to, and we have to ask ourselves the question, how am I personally getting these things involved with the Long Beach Rescue Mission and Child Evangelism Fellowship? I am prayerful, as is our missions committee, our elders, our governing board. We are prayerful that we would become more actively involved in what is going on in each one of these ministries. We've got more coming at us this month. We've got four ministries that represent Judea and Samaria to us that are going to be coming at us next week. And then the Christian and Missionary Alliance has provided us with two unbelievable missionaries that will be here on the last couple of Sundays of this month. We've got a huge month ahead of us. I hope that you are prayerful, and I hope that we are all joining together to reach the whole world in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's be about the business of scattering seed and living out our communion as we celebrated this morning. Let's be about the business of living that out in the world that is around us. I'm going to pray, and then I hope you have a great Sunday afternoon. Father God, we give you this morning. God, we give you this time. We pray that you would press yourself into our souls, Father. And that in pressing yourself, Father, in on us, that we would leak Jesus to the world around us. Father, I pray for your blessing on the Long Beach Rescue Mission. And on Pastor Bill, Father, as he preaches and teaches and leads over there. God, I pray for Child Evangelism Fellowship and for Claudia. God, what a great gift you've given her and what a great opportunity you've given them to reach children in the name of Jesus right there on their own campuses. God, I pray that you would bless these endeavors for both of these organizations and that, God, we would partner significantly with Long Beach Rescue Mission, Child Evangelism Fellowship, in a way, God, that really makes a difference in the world. That, Father, we would see where you have brought us together with these ministries, and that we would be blessed in the process. God, we pray for these things. We thank you for giving them to us as opportunities, and we give it all to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday afternoon.